The Lord Almighty grant us a peaceful night and a perfect end.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
the Maker of heaven and earth.
Let us confess our sins to God. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father,
we have sinned against you through our own fault, in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. For the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us all our offenses, and grant us that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen.
May the Almighty God grant us forgiveness of all our sins and the grace and comfort of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Alleluia.
The psalm for tonight is Psalm 1, found on page 585 of the Book of Common Prayer. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful. Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on his law day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper.
It is not so with the wicked.
They are like chaff which the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked is doomed. The gospel reading for tonight is Mark Chapter 9, verses 30 through 37. Jesus and his disciples passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In this passage, we encounter Jesus traveling with his disciples through Galilee in secret as he reminded them what he had said earlier, that he would be betrayed and killed, but rise from the dead 3 days later. The disciples failed to understand Jesus' message again, and they focused instead on their own concerns. When Jesus asked them after their arrival in Capernaum what they'd argued about on the journey, they were silent, probably ashamed to admit that they'd fought about who among them was the greatest. Such arguing about who is greatest might seem the stuff of childhood competition. I know that my brother and I constantly compared ourselves to each other over who was smartest or the most beloved by our parents or most popular in school. Since my brother was almost 5 years older and had superior reasoning abilities at that time and probably still does, he usually won those arguments, though though my parents were always quick to assure us that they didn't favor one of us over the other. This makes me wonder who came out ahead among Jesus' disciples in their argument. Was it the bold Peter or his less prominent brother Andrew or fiery John, whom Jesus loved, or Matthew, the former tax collector, perhaps of greater economic status than the other disciples? Jesus certainly doesn't care, for he calls all the disciples to him, saying, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all," verse 35. To this paradox of first versus last and first versus servant, Jesus added another layer. He took a child in his arms and told them that, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me," verse 37. Therefore, he emphasizes that what matters to him and to his Father is not who is greatest in whatever definitions the disciples came up with, but who is at the opposite rank, the last, the servant, the child. Earthly, human-made hierarchies don't matter to Jesus. How do we define greatness? In human terms, it could be someone like Martin Luther King Jr., who overcame demanding obstacles from birth to attain success as a leader. It could be someone like Queen Elizabeth II, who came from the kind of privileged background that can be the ruin of many lesser people, to attain her own greatness as a sovereign dedicated to her people and God. My husband attained greatness, or as VSU describes it, excellence, as a teacher here at VSU and the other universities where he taught. I think of many of you sitting here with me today as great people. These versions of greatness, however, do not place us higher in the hierarchy of God's love for us. Jesus didn't die just or even foremost for the wealthy or the well-spoken or even the faithful. He died for everyone. Our faithfulness is how we demonstrate devotion and gratitude toward God for his gift of Jesus. But this gift is not something that we earn because we ourselves are great worshipers or priests or lay leaders. The utmost greatness is the gift of God's love for us, expressed as though we are children who have no claim to society's views of greatness. We are told in Matthew 18:3 that unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Welcoming a child is the same as welcoming Jesus, which is the same as welcoming God. Therefore, when we become most like children by forsaking earthly claims to greatness, we are most godlike. Let us empty ourselves of our human desires for greatness and approach God like little children who will, by becoming last, achieve the utmost greatness of Jesus' love. Amen.
Amen.
Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit.
For you have redeemed me, O Lord.
Keep us, O Lord, as the apple of your eye.
I am such a shadow of your wings.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, hear our prayer,
and let our cry come to you.
Let us pray. Be present, O merciful God, and protect us through the hours of this night, so that we who are wearied by the changes and chances of this life may rest in your eternal changelessness, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Keep watch, dear Lord, with those who work or watch or weep this night, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, Lord Christ. Give rest to the weary, bless the dying, soothe the suffering, pity the afflicted, and shield the joyous, and all for your love's sake.
Amen.
I ask your intercessions and thanksgivings, either silently or aloud. Please say special prayers for Peter and for Happy, for Della, for Norma Barnage, for Jimmy Carroll and Ingrid Carroll,
for our friends in the Dominican Republic.
Guide us waking, O Lord,
and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace.
Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior, whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations, and the glory of your people Israel. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Guide us waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and Merciful Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless us and keep us.
Amen.